today on Compassion Radio.
No one has ever been de-hated by being argued out of it.
Right.
The only thing I'm convinced that ever, ever dissolves hate is love.
Mm-hmm.
And love expressed and forgiveness offered when it's not deserved, then the Holy Spirit making it real in your heart saying, this forgiveness, this love is for me.
Right.
The offender.
Right. And I can't do anything to get away from it.
Yeah. That's where real transformation happens in the soul, and yet believing the truth to be true for you.
Mm.
So I do believe these priests didn't just change their mind. Their hearts were moved.
Oh, they were transformed completely.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. You know, when you spend your life looking for Jesus around every corner, he's bound to show up. And when he does, it's safe to say that he'll be bringing powerful ministry opportunities with him. And friends, that means your chance to be a part of something that will count for eternity. I'm Frank Montenegro, and today we're bringing you the next installment of a series called Chasing the Word, where Bram and his wife Sandy are taking a look at the historical mission of the Christian Church. Here's Bram and Sandy to start things off.
Back to our Chasing the Word series, honey.
Hi, it's good to be back.
Now, we have been doing this for a few weeks now. Why? Because we felt the Lord was calling us to do something together that might help be an example to others who want to dig in the Word together as well. And to give an example of how a couple, a husband and wife, can actually communicate and dialogue on the Scripture in a way that enriches both. We believe it's possible. We believe we've grown because of our time together
Yes.
in the past few weeks. And we want to encourage others to do the same. Because I know, and you know, honey, that when we do it, God comes alive in those things and makes us more brave. Brave in our living out the gospel, in our courage to listen for his Spirit to say, this is the next thing I have for you. And our joy grows. I mean, I find myself excited looking forward to these times spent talking about the Word. And
yeah,
we want
too.
People to be missional. That's our heart.
Yeah.
And we know it's God's heart too.
Right.
Let's jump in right now to chapter 6 of Acts. Some amazing things have been happening so far. The church has gone through some real fits and spurts of almost disaster and torment and joys and miracles and torture. All kinds of stuff is happening in those first few weeks and months and years of the Christian faith.
Mm-hmm. Well, we talked about last time at the end of chapter 5 of Acts that they were experiencing a kind of trauma.
Yes,
I mean, their
they were.
Leadership was being beaten,
yes.
severely beaten. So there was probably some trauma in that. We remember that the disciples came out from this beating rejoicing.
Yes.
I don't imagine they were high-fiving or anything like that.
Maybe they were.
But they were rejoicing nonetheless that they had been counted worthy.
And not just that they were spared.
Right.
But that God
right.
honored them by letting right. them experience what he had to experience in order to bring salvation.
Right. But then you jump right into chapter 6.
I
mean, immediately following that, and it says, during those days, the number of Jesus' followers kept multiplying greatly. We don't know what that means, multiplying greatly, but it sounds like a lot.
Multiplying means multiplying, not just adding on. So we think about geometric progressions being different than arithmetic progressions. In other words, we don't add ones and tens and hundreds. We double in size.
Mm-hmm.
We quadruple in size. That's how many people were being reached. And we know that people get reached because they have relationships.
Mm-hmm.
That's just because one preacher built this church. So in other words, this gospel message is alive and well in all of these people.
Mm-hmm.
They have plenty to talk about, and other people are fascinated with their stories.
Right.
And we keep saying this, we'll keep saying this until we are no more. Your story matters,
right.
and it mattered for the first century church too.
Mm-hmm.
Their stories, their individual stories of God's redemptive work in their lives made a difference in other people's lives.
Yeah.
And the church grew.
And we're going to see that large body of people that has multiplied to this big, huge following. We're going to see here in chapter 6 some individual stories that begin to matter.
So let's read these scriptures. We have very few verses in this chapter to deal with, but we have a big story.
In those days, as the number of disciples were multiplying, there arose a complaint by the Hellenistic Jews against the Hebraic Jews that their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Now, the Hellenistic Jews were the Greek-speaking Jews.
And Greek-speaking meant all across that part of the Middle East, because mm-hmm. Greek was the trade language through all of Turkey, through all what is now Lebanon and Jordan and Israel, and even into Egypt. This, to me, tells me we've turned a corner, so to speak, into normal stuff.
Now, this sounds like our church.
Our church struggles.
Right.
Many churches struggle with how do we work out our faith practically.
And I want to say we love our church. I don't mean our church as the one we attend, but the church at large.
Yep.
It sounds like the normal church.
And there was plenty of people that needed help. There were very much the poor mixed in with the very rich all together in one congregation. And we learned in the last chapters that the rich were literally selling their properties. But little I know of the history of that time and that place, not many people were entitled to property.
Mm-hmm.
Getting title to property meant you had all kinds of qualifications, not just money to buy it. So the people that were selling this were the landed gentry, the people that actually had title to land.
Okay.
So they're selling large tracts. Like, let's just sell this hotel and make sure that people are fed.
Mm.
That's the kind of giving that was happening. And that's why the Ananias and Sapphira story is so drastic. These people probably had some real wealth to play with, but they cheated God even in their wealth.
Right.
So now we move on to dealing with those who are receiving the benefit of that. The Hellenistic Jews were not able to give as much. They were poor.
Mm.
They were from out of the city. They were visiting, or they were maybe laborers that come there for work.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also seekers of truth.
Mm.
My guess is they hadn't given or participated or put as much in the plate as those who have been in Jerusalem all these years. That's my guess.
Okay. After this complaint is registered, the 12 apostles call a meeting of all the believers and told them, this is probably a big meeting.
Yeah. Everybody could be there, a quorum of thousands.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they say to him, it's not to our advantage or anyone's advantage for us to be pulled away from the word of God to wait on tables.
This sounds kind of hoity-toity here.
It kind of, but I think it's smart, though, because we're going to find out what they do here.
Yep.
They say, we want you to carefully select from among yourselves seven godly men and make sure they are honorable, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and we'll give them responsibility of this crucial ministry of serving. And I love that because these men were chosen to serve. I grew up this way. Oftentimes in our body of believers in our churches, it's the women who are doing all the serving and taking that role, running the kitchen and all that stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's not what I mean. But I'm just finding it interesting that they're saying, let's give this responsibility to these men. And they say to the congregation, you choose them.
Yeah.
You pray and let the godly men rise to the top, and you choose seven of them. It says everyone in the church loved this idea, so they chose seven men. I'm not going to be able to pronounce all these names correctly.
But some of them are familiar in later chapters of the same book.
Right.
People like Philip and Prochorus, and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas or Parmenas and Nicholas or Nicolaus. These were all converts from different parts of the empire.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone that's mentioned in the list so far are these Hellenistic Jews, people that speak Greek, that are of that culture, that are of the downtrodden. So now they're being called up. And my guess is that this was a full-time job, not just that they would be meeting once a month and talking about benevolence. They were being called out. So maybe they were actually paid a salary. I don't know. Or they just said, God will take care of my needs. Yes, I'm willing and able to. Whatever it was, they put themselves fully out there and said, whatever you want, God, I'm your man.
Right. And it says that they were chosen by the whole congregation.
Yeah.
So these are men that were trusted by the believers.
And honey, this tells me too that the church was made aware by this whole scenario of a grievous error.
Mm-hmm.
They realized that they were playing favorites.
Oh, yeah.
And they repented of that.
Sweet.
Not just that they stopped their behavior and decided to be fair about the shares of soup and bread given out to other widows that were not locals in their minds, but that they also realized that in order to break free of this, we're going to have to let them teach us and take authority over us so we can really serve together on the same level. So they appointed and elevated the lowest of the bunch in their minds to the highest places of honor in the entire congregation.
And they were commissioned to ministry.
Yeah. I think in the New Testament, our first real example of the laying on of hands and prayer over that for commissioning. And that has been the template for the Christian church ever since.
Right.
So whether you're a preaching pastor or a deacon or an elder, church tradition has been almost uniform across all of Christianity that something like this happens at the commissioning service of each one of these people.
Mm-hmm.
That tells me that the template, the one that God ordained to happen in the new fellowship called the Way, the church that followed Christ, is that the entire body would lay hands on the lowest and elevate them, that they would see the humility, and because of the humility, elevate them to points of authority and honor. That became a virtue of the entire church.
And we've seen that happen over and over in our experience in the church. Moving on to verse 7 after that, it says, God's word reigned supreme and kept spreading, and the number of Jesus' followers in Jerusalem quickly grew and increased by the day. I have lost count. I have lost count of the times in the first six chapters of Acts that it has said the church grew, they increased, they multiplied, they grew and they grew.
Day by day.
Day by day. Thousands were added. This is amazing.
How many people are left in Jerusalem at this point?
The ultimate mega church.
Yeah. With all of the dangers of a mega church. And we've seen even in our own culture that mega churches without accountability have real problems. Mm-hmm. And because of that, the entire body of Christ suffers because of the wayward actions of some that are given way too much authority or power or seize it. Mm-hmm. And we have to be very careful of that ever since. That does not mean that we are suspicious of our leaders.
Right.
It means that we are responsible before God to pray fervently and seek God's wisdom and guidance on that, like the apostles demanded of the congregation to do in electing the very first deacons.
Mm-hmm.
So Stephen was one of those who was called out to be a deacon.
Mm-hmm. I just want to say that if you go on through verse 7, this is where it talked about great number of Jewish priests became believers and were obedient to the faith. I just want to point that out because we talked about that before.
Right. This is a tipping point for organized religion.
Mm-hmm.
Even those who are committed to a certain body of study and a worldview on what God expected of them as religious people was now exploded.
Mm-hmm.
And they're finally hearing the message, not just that it's there or that they disagree with us, but that my ears are now open to hear what that message is.
You're listening to Compassion Radio. Coming up next, more biblical insight on the historical mission of the Christian church.
It was Desmond Tutu who said, "Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness." Friends, this is Bram Floria, and I'd like to tell you about a wonderful opportunity for you to help some of the most at-risk people in the world, children and infants, to bring them out of the darkness of destitution and abandonment and into the hope of a bright future and a better life. It's Store of Hope in Johannesburg, South Africa, and it's seen thousands adopted, fostered, or even reclaimed by family members who had originally abandoned them. The good news is that there are already two very successful baby houses in existence, and our Compassion Radio partners like you had a big part in making those happen in the past. But we all know that babies don't stay babies forever, and that's why Door of Hope, in partnership with Compassion Radio, is seeking again this year to continue the construction of Hope Village. This transformational project will feature a large park playground, a school even, a church, a farm, and will eventually be completely self-sustaining. The kind and loving staff at Hope Village will provide each and every child with spiritual training and education, as well as a marketable skill to use when they grow up. Your financial gift will help ensure that each of these little ones has a chance at a bright and successful future. So please, pray and ask God how He would have you help. When you give, you'll be changing the eternal destiny of one child or more, desperately in need of hope right now. And here's the best part. For the first time ever, we have a special challenge grant on this project of $4,000 for this month, which means every dollar you give is going to be doubled if you will give now. Please call us at 1-800-868-2478 during business hours Pacific time or go to CompassionRadio.com to give right away. You can also write us at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Again, that's 1-800-868-2478 or go to CompassionRadio.com. And our mailing address again is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. And if you've got a smartphone or a tablet, just text the word KIDS to 53445. That's the word KIDS, K-I-D-S, to 53445. Thank you again for your willingness to be part of what God is doing in the lives of these children and infants in South Africa through the 2019 Compassion Radio Door of Hope Project. God bless you.
Celebrating 75 years in Christian broadcasting, this is Compassion Radio.
Dismay, for I am thy God, and thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand.
And now, back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Yeah, you think about the transformations that really do happen in people who are maybe raised in hate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's plenty of examples of people coming out of the Ku Klux Klan or out of other hate groups that are trained cultically to hate as if God wants that from them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they make that a virtue. They're never won by arguing them out of their hate.
Right.
No one has ever been de-hated by being argued out of it.
Right.
The only thing I'm convinced that ever, ever dissolves hate is love.
Mm-hmm.
And love expressed and forgiveness offered when it's not deserved. Then the Holy Spirit making it real in your heart, saying, this forgiveness, this love is for me.
Right.
The offender.
Right. And I can't do anything to get away from it.
Yeah. That's where real transformation happens in the soul, and yet believing the truth to be true for you. So I do believe these priests didn't just change their mind. Their hearts were moved.
Oh, they were transformed completely. Right.
So Stephen is now one of the top dogs in the entire church, right?
Right.
And he's known for his grace.
Mm.
It's the first description of him. It says, now Stephen, full of grace,
mm-hmm.
which means divine blessing and favor.
Well, it says here, too, that he performed many astonishing signs and wonders and mighty miracles among the people. This is the first one other than the apostles
that we know of
that's recorded that's also performing signs and wonders and miracles.
And he accepted the truth of the gospel proclaimed, which is, I will now be unleashed on all mankind.
Mm-hmm.
Men may assume, well, what God really means is those guys that were close to him will have the most power.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit says, no, I'm going to unleash myself on all mankind.
Right.
Stephen accepts that word mm-hmm. and says, if that's true, it's true for me. God, what do you want to do in my life? And now apparently, he's doing it.
Right.
So that very surrender to the Holy Spirit's authority and power in him is transformative in his life
mm-hmm.
and elevates him even higher in the congregation's esteem because he's humbled himself before God and God has said, yes, that's the kind of guy I want.
Right. I'm going to use that man.
He may not have been there for the first 30 years of Jesus' life. He may be someone that just came to faith. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He may have been part of the 70 that traveled with Jesus all those years. Maybe he was not close enough to be even considered for the replacement of Judas when they had to figure out who was going to be the next 12th apostle.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow he comes into the picture and quickly clicks. God's doing something in him, and he is full of the power of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Well, this upsets some people.
Oh, yes.
I think, again, we're talking about jealousy.
Yeah.
And wanting to have a little bit of that recognition, maybe. And it says that some men belonging to a sect who called themselves men set free, I think these were former slaves,
right.
were jealous. And they confronted Stephen to argue with him.
And they couldn't get anything sideways on him.
No, the Holy Spirit gave Stephen remarkable wisdom to answer them. His words were prompted by the Holy Spirit, and they could not refute what he said. I just want to interject here. I would love for my words to be prompted by the Holy Spirit every day.
Because you know that whatever went out would come back with a reward.
Mm.
It wouldn't fall on deaf ears. It wouldn't be spent on the sand. His word always returns with a profit.
Well, for him to be glorified in that would be the greatest profit, I think, for me.
Yes, I agree. And something about Stephen's humility, expecting and accepting that Jesus would speak through his spirit, the Holy Spirit through him, without fear and without guile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not trying to sound more impressive than he is. He's just so taken up in the thoughts that God's putting in his heart and mind that they just spill out.
Mm-hmm.
So what do? They couldn't beat him at his own game. So they had to create a new game called Cheat and Steal and Lie and Destroy. And they trump up charges and they bring in false witnesses.
Right. So what we're led to believe then here, or what I'm thinking, is that these men have somehow infiltrated the church.
Maybe so.
And they are trying to get in here sideways and get a little bit of the recognition that they've seen Stephen get. But like you said, they can't beat Stephen. They can't twist his words. They can't frustrate him to a point of saying something off center. So they found people to lie about Stephen.
Like all good lies, there probably was a germ of truth in each one of them.
Mm-hmm.
He probably did say something about the things they accuse him of.
Mm-hmm.
They claimed he was trying to tear apart the law by the way he talked about Moses. I'll bet he did talk about Moses. That Jesus would rip apart the temple and destroy it. He probably did talk about Jesus and the temple.
Mm-hmm.
But never once did he proclaim Jesus to be an avenger in anything less than the Savior of mankind and the Messiah that we've been longing for.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Stephen is orthodox in his experience and his preaching.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that's coming out of his lips that's not directly from the Holy Spirit of God. And so the liars have to come up with ways to twist what other people think they heard about what he said.
Well, and even if there is a germ of truth, like you said, in what they're accusing him of, just twisting it a little bit to the masses who maybe are not as learned in the scripture incites riot.
And isn't it infuriating when people twist your words?
Yes.
Do we not all experience that from time to time, feel like we're given an unjust treatment or we're getting a raw deal because people have really, truly twisted our words on us? I never said that.
Well, even in our passion in an argument, I know there's been times when I've said, well, you said this to me, and you say, those were not my words at all. But we're in a passionate discourse and we're upset with each other, or, you know, one of us is hurt and the other one is trying to justify themselves. Mm-hmm. And we don't hear properly, I should say. Mm-hmm. I'm very guilty of that sometimes. So I think that once the passions have been ignited in these people who are very religious people, the Jewish culture is a very religious people. Everything is already on edge in Jerusalem. And it's not iron sharpening iron.
It matches the gasoline.
Now. Right. Yeah. It's very easily twisted and very easily ignited.
And where this chapter ends up, before the great defense of the faith that Stephen gives, is an incredible phrase to me. Mm-hmm. Then all those who were sitting in the council stared intently at him, Stephen, and they saw that Stephen's face was like the face of an angel. This is a weird picture for me. My first read of that was, oh, how pretty, how beautiful, how lovely. We have been painted this image of pretty angels that are just lovely.
Right.
He's been touched by an angel. No. Yeah. We're talking about the glory and ferocity of those who stand in the presence of God. Mm. While the accusations are going on, while they're being hurled at him, something is transforming in him. Mm. And out of him is going to come the biggest, robust defense of the gospel and condemnation of the sinful world that the church has ever heard in the next chapter. Mm. And we'll get to that in our next program. But oh, to be the kind of person that God says, I am honored to put my words in your mouth. Mm-hmm. You honor me by letting me speak through you. There's this incredible partnership. And Stephen seems like, in all humility, he's open to this. He doesn't have false humility. He's not groveling around trying to prove to God how humble he is. Mm-hmm. He's also not arrogant and claiming to speak for God. He is falling deeply into God and letting God's words fall through him with such power that people could not escape it. And we're going to see that next chapter. Mm-hmm. Let's pray. God, thank you so much again for your word and for this missional living, this lifestyle, this way that the church discovered in the book of Acts, and that your spirit was alive and well and still is in power like this. And thank you that Stephen is alive to you now, and he's alive to us through your word. Lord, that we would find the courage to be willing to follow Stephen's example, not in courage from our own self, but in courage to come before you and yield ourselves to let you use us. So God, I pray that the spirit of Stephen would be the spirit of the church in the 21st century, and that we would experience that too. In your name, I pray.
So again, I just wanted to remind our listeners that we would love to hear from you, your thoughts on the book of Acts, anything that we have up to this point shared from chapter 1 all the way through this chapter 6. We would love to just get your thoughts on it. Contact us through email and letters. I'll give my email address out here too. It's Sandy with an I, sandy@compassionradio.com. I'd love to hear from people as well.
I would too. BramFloria@compassionradio.com. Thank you, friends, for sharing with us in the Word today. May the Word enrich your life and empower you to great things as He invites you to be part of His plan today to love the world.
Chase the Word.
And chase the Word together.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.